Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Didi Vadakari Gopi Janavallabha Didi Vadakari Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Jamuna Thira Panachari Jamuna Thira Panachari Jaya Radha
Oh.
Jnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nilidham Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pascatyade Shatharine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We welcome you to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Flower Festival. Our temple has a school for many of the children of our congregation. And one small girl, her name Vraja Kumari Devi, her mother Janava Devi, nourished her with devotion from her very early childhood. As the years passed, she became a teacher and learned how to organize things very nicely. And when we decided to start this school, she was made the principal. And we asked her what we should name the school. She she decided, and we all very happily agreed, Gopal's garden. Could everyone hear? These are all graduate electronic engineers who are but when it comes to the flower festival, everyone's humbled. She gave us the name Gopal's Garden because Gopal is Krishna, the supreme object of love, and also the supreme lover. And all our children are the flowers in Gopal's garden. And the teachers, the parents, everyone are like gardeners who are meant to nourish them with love, with devotion, with wisdom. Because without all of those ingredients, there cannot be any true happiness. No fulfillment is sustainable. Our Bhaktivedanta Manor, a few years ago, established a George Harrison Memorial Garden because George really loved gardening. And they brought in as a keynote speaker for that occasion one of the most respected gardeners of the United Kingdom. And he told the science of a good garden. He said, people ask advice, what do we have to do to have a really nice garden? A nice garden is not just one that looks nice. It's one that gives an experience. He said the most important thing is the gardeners must love the flowers. Giving whatever natural fertilizers, giving water, whatever other services the gardener is doing to the flower, if it's done with love, if it's done with genuine care personally for the flower, the flower is nourished by that. And when they bloom, they're actually blooming in a reciprocation of affection. And when you go into a garden like that, you can feel each flower resonating love. That is a good garden. Otherwise, it's all just external and superficial. It looks nice, you take photos, nothing happens. But what is valuable in human life is what transforms our mind and connects to our heart. That's a valuable experience. That little baby really wants mother to take to give love to him or her. And in truth, we're all like that little baby. We're all crying for love of our Supreme Mother and Father. But somehow or other, we have made a disconnection. This gardener was explaining in this way. It's not only the story of the secret of a really good garden, it's the story of the secret of life. Wherever there's life, there's a search for pleasure. And the essence of pleasure is to love and to be loved. I was recently listening to a talk by Srila Prabhupada, my guru, and he was saying, you see the monkeys? Because in parts of India there's many monkeys. You see the baby monkey is holding on to the mother. And the mother is jumping from branch to branch and the little baby's holding on, holding on, holding on. What is that connection? Because the baby feels shelter because of the mother's natural love for the baby. Mother dog, mother cow. At our Govardhan Eco Village, there was a little baby calf born. And the day the calf was born, this was a little, some time back, I went to see the calf and I approached the calf and the mother charged me with her horns. And I was so happy. I got out of the way. But why did she do that? Because she loves her calf. And as soon as she saw that I really was friendly to her calf and cared about her calf, then the same cow started licking me when I was petting the calf. Just minutes later. So that tendency of love is everywhere. Why? Because it's the inherent nature of life. Life is a symptom of the presence of the soul, the Atma. Parashya Shaktir Vivadai Vashuyate. Sri Chaitanya, he taught Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Kodiya Yudhoi. The origin of that propensity to love is the soul's love for God. God is all attractive, all beautiful, all sweet, all loving, all powerful. The name Krishna means that, all attractive. Life is in search of that love. Just like the sun planet is radiating limitless light, Krishna radiates limitless love. Sri Radha, the feminine potency, is the light of that love. And that light is fully shining for everyone. That is the most inconceivable, incomprehensible, and most wonderful feature of God. The absolute truth is each and every one of us, when we open our hearts to reciprocate with that love, we can feel, even though Krishna, we know Krishna loves everyone, still we feel all his love is coming to me. We can't have that experience with lovers. To love every living being and everyone is thinking, all the love is for me. That's what it means that God is great. Creating universes, destroying universes, creating oceans and mountains, destroying oceans and mountains, creating all living beings, destroying all living beings. That's a small part of God's greatness. The actual feature of God's greatness to those who are elevated yogis is the intimacy and the power and the sweetness of Krishna's love. And it's inherent within all of us. Because aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the Supreme Father and Supreme Mother of everyone. Within everyone's heart, never leaves us. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. Our dearmost friend, forever. Well, somehow or other, in the complexities and the dualities of material existence, and when the false ego, the ahankar, gets implicated in all of that, we forget that each and one of you, each and every one of you, is the wealthiest person in all of creation. This is the beauteous, beautiful thing. Every living being in creation can be the wealthiest person in all of creation. What is that wealth? Krishna's love is just for you and just for me. And our love for Krishna, if we just make some sincere effort to express that, then we realize the lost love that we're crying for, we're dying for, but we're looking for it in so many places, in so many things. Things like fame, things like prestige, things like attracting other people to our beauty, our knowledge, our wealth, our strength, our skills. These things come and go. We become attached to them. It's a little pleasure, and then they're taken away. And oh, how it hurts. What is pain? We're attached to something, and it's taken away. We're attached to health, it's taken away. We're attached to a loved one, taken away. If you're not attached, we really don't care. But we have to be attached. That's a dilemma. Because we're all looking for pleasure. And wherever we could find pleasure, we become attached to it. So the problem is not that we're looking for pleasure. Because we're by nature pleasure seeking. Satchit ananda. Ananda means pleasure. And the problem is not we're looking for pleasure. The problem is we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking toward superficial, external things that have nothing to do with our soul. But when we look within, and looking within means, even with our eyes, we're searching for that love within ourselves, even in what we do with our hands and our mouth and our eyes. That's called bhakti. The process of devotional service. But the idea of seva or service, what is the need? Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram, that he's the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. He's giving us our abilities, giving us our knowledge, giving us all our resources, giving us a body and mind and intelligence. What can we give Krishna? This is the beauty of life when we understand that God doesn't need anything from us, but he does need something from us. How could you need and not need? That is a great mystery. He doesn't need, but he does need. By his own sweet will, he needs. The only thing we have to offer is our love, our devotion. In India, if you go to the river Ganga or Yamuna, you will see people in the Ganges with their palmed hand, their cupped palms, lifting water and saying prayers, sometimes with tears in the eyes, and saying, Mother Ganges, please accept this water. How much water does Mother Ganges have? And we're taking that little quantity of water from her. Does she need that water? She does. When it's offered with love. Because when we offer that water with gratitude, with humility, these two ingredients are essential for there to be real love. Spiritual love. Humility, gratitude. With the desire to please. I offer you my heart's love. And if it's done with sincere intent, when we offer that water, that palm full of water is more valuable to Mother Ganga than all the limitless gallons of water that are within her stream. Because real happiness is not in quantity, it's in quality. The quality of consciousness. Similarly, a parent. I often tell story on my mother's birthday one year, or maybe it was Mother's Day. My mother, to her, if we remember that day, we care about her. And if we don't remember that day, we don't really care. Sometimes mothers are like that. And from my observation, daughters understand that. But husbands and sons never understand that. For us, it's just sentimental stuff. She should already know that I love her. Even though I don't do anything she says, and I'm always trying to get away with something else that she doesn't want me to do, she should know that I love her. But if she does anything that I don't want, then I question. You never question her love. So I realized, was like dinner, and I kind of saw that she was looking really sad. And then I understood, it's her birthday. I'm about to go to sleep. Everyone in the family forgot. I'm going to have to say this more. So, because my family was three brothers. No sisters. So I felt really bad. And I ran out to the garden. She had a rose garden. And in her rose garden, there were three rose bushes. And there was only one or two roses growing on it. Because her birthday's August 15th. And I just broke a rose off. Her garden. She planted it. She watered it. She grew it. It was her garden. And I broke a rose off. And I ran inside. And I said, Happy birthday, Mother. I was about 8 years old. She cried in joy. For her, that rose was everything.
She put it to her head, she put it to her eyes, she put it to her heart, she smelled it with her nose. And she said, "Thank you. If you were to give me a diamond necklace or precious pearls, it could not be of greater value than this rose that you stole from me." Because it's not the thing that counts. It's the love in which it's offered that gives anything its value. Now, at that time, I just was thinking, I got off that one quite easy. But actually, her words went into my heart. And years later, it still resonates. It was an introduction to the concept of bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, "Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati taraham bhaktyu bahritam ashnami prayatatmana." If one offers to me even a leaf, he doesn't see, say, millions of leaves. He says, even a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, if it's offered with devotion, I accept it. Krishna does not accept anything else except devotion. Because really, that's all, the only thing of value that we have. And a cultured society, a society that's elevated in consciousness, is where we share that same understanding. What's most valuable that gives quality and fulfillment to the heart and to life is the love we share with each other. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu tells that to the extent love expands, it's fulfilling. It's ecstatic. We may love our child, we may love our parents, we may love a lover, but when that expands to our neighbors, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the natural expression of loving God. And the more we recognize everyone's our neighbor. One may be male, one may be female, one may be black or white or red or yellow or brown, one may be rich or poor, from the east, from the west, one may be from any religion or no religion, one may be a human or an elephant or a cow or a dog or a cat or a tree. The deeper we discover the love of our own soul, the more we could recognize that Krishna loves every soul like he loves us. And how could we not love God without respecting that? Compassion is the expression of love. It's very important if we want to understand what yoga is. What this true spirit of life is. Yoga doesn't mean just a system. It means a connection. A divine connection with our own soul. The unity of the body, the mind, and the living force. The unity between the living force and the supreme living force, Krishna. And in that unity, the unity of all life. The environment, all living beings. That's love. That's inherent in each of us. And in this beautiful verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining, that self-realization and the true happiness it brings is not determined by any material external qualifications or disqualifications. It's based on the sincerity of our intent. To love, to serve, to please.
Atha pumbird vijastreshtas varnashrama vivakasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haditoshanam.
Whatever our occupation, whatever our status within this world, there's only one factor that brings success. Spiritually.
Samsidir haditoshanam.
Have we pleased Lord Hari? And in the great scriptures, in all the scriptures of the world, this is the foundational message that's constantly being replayed. In Lord Ram's Leela, Ram and Lakshman were searching for Sita, the consort of Lord Ram, who was kidnapped by Ravana. They came to a lake. It's called Pampa Sarovar. And living on the bank of this lake was a very old lady. She was born and raised in the jungle in the family of hunters. She had no education. In those days, when you're born and raised in a jungle in a family of hunters, the only thing you learn is how to hunt. But she came in contact with Matanga Rishi, who was a great yogi, a yogi of devotion. And she became so transformed by that satsang. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastrakoi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhihoi. When we associate with holy people, the seed of devotion is awakened in our heart. And that's what happened. She just wanted to hear the truth. And even though she couldn't understand all the philosophical ideas, she understood the essence. And she wanted to be the servant of the servant. She wasn't even directly serving Matanga Rishi, she was serving his disciples. In any little way, bringing some fruits and berries and herbs. But she was very old then. And Matanga Rishi and all the disciples, they were very, very great yogis. And this was long ago. They all decided we were going back to the spiritual world. But they told Shabari that you're not qualified to come with us. But they gave her a special blessing. You may not have the qualifications we have in other ways, but you do have a qualification. That Lord Ram is going to be coming here years later. And if you serve him nicely, by his grace, you will return to the spiritual world. So she was chanting Ram's names, and she was waiting eagerly, year after year. And when Ram came, what could she offer him? If God comes to your house, you want to give him the best you have. She was living in a little straw hut. And she did her meditation in a cave. I've been to those caves. They're really dark. Every now and then, you hear little slithering snakes going in and out. And constantly you're getting bitten by little insects. And it's so dark you can't tell what it is. We had hundreds of people in the same cave together, Shabari's cave. And we were all so happy because we were all thinking, this is the way she lived. So when Ram came, she was just dressed in tree bark. Her body was totally shriveled up from old age. But she just got some grass and made a mat for him to sit. With eagerness. With love. She gathered some fruits. In fact, she would gather these fruits every day, waiting and expecting for him to come. And according to the legend, these particular little berries she would collect, which are berries that monkeys like to eat, you can't tell if they're ripe or unripe by looking, only by tasting. So she would bite a little berry, and if it was bitter, she would put it aside for herself later. And if it was sweet, she would take it out of her mouth and give it to Ram. Ram was eating them, and he was so happy. It tasted more delicious to him than halva and gulab jamuns. Maybe even pizza. Because he's not tasting the berry, he's tasting the devotion. He doesn't need berries. He's Lakshminath. He's the god of Lakshmi in the spiritual world. And on that very day, by his grace, he sent her to the spiritual world. The highest liberation. Not because of her power, but because of the grace she received due to the sincerity of her devotion. In Krishna's Leela, there was a very poor man named Sudama. He was in emaciated condition due to poverty. And his good wife gave him some chipped rice that she begged and said, please bring this to Krishna. When he was living in Dwarka in a beautiful place. And when he met Krishna, he was afraid to give him that rice, but Krishna grabbed it and took it. Krishna's hungry for the love of a devotee. Story of Vidura. Krishna went to Hastinapur. And there was a devotee named, not a devotee, there was a very, very evil, cruel, envious person named Duryodhana who lived in a magnificent palace. And he wanted to invite Krishna because he wanted to get strategic powers from Krishna. He decorated everything so nicely. Krishna walked by and went to Vidura's house. Vidura wasn't expecting him. He lived very simple. Vidura wasn't even home. When Krishna arrived, his wife thought, oh no, we have nothing to give you. She ran out and collected a banana and gave Krishna the banana. But she was so nervous. The story goes, she gave him the banana peel. Krishna ate it. He was fully satisfied. He gave her all blessings. He wouldn't even look at the luxurious feast and the beautiful jewels that Duryodhana was going to give him because it wasn't with love. I'll end with two little stories. Sita's birthplace is Mithila. When Krishna went there with many great sages and rishis and devotees, in Mithila, two people came to greet Krishna. The king, Bahulaswa, and a very simple Brahman named Shrutadeva. They both invited Krishna to their homes with the same amount of devotion. So Krishna, because he can reciprocate love unlimitedly, he manifested two forms. First, he simultaneously went to Bahulaswa's house. The king offered the best he could. He sat Krishna on a royal throne. He gave Krishna a magnificent meal cooked by the best cooks in the kingdom on golden plates and bowls. He gave Krishna jewels and necklaces. He had the best entertainers singing and dancing for Krishna. And meanwhile, at the same time, Shrutadev, he just lived in a straw hut. He put a straw mat down for Krishna to sit. He went out and begged some rice. That's all he could give, and gave that to Krishna to entertain Krishna. He personally danced and waved a little cloth around, twirling it like this to make it look really exciting. Krishna was pleased equally with both. Wealth is not a disqualification. Poverty is not a disqualification. Arrogance, greed, envy, selfishness, they are the disqualifications. Whether we offer a beautiful temple to the Lord, or if all we have is just a leaf from a tree which is free for everyone, or a little water, if it's offered with sincere devotion, Krishna accepts. Ram and Krishna appeared in this age recently as Lord Chaitanya. Once, when everyone was having kirtan, Lord Chaitanya wanted to fulfill everyone's desires. He actually revealed himself as the Supreme God. And among all of them, there was one simple man named Suklambar Brahmachari. Suklambar, he lived in a little tiny hut on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip Dham. And he was a beggar. Every day he would go to at least 10 houses to beg for some rice. Now, I don't know if any of you have been beggars, but I have some experience. When you beg, most people don't give you anything. They just chase you away. But the people who are really pious, they give you the worst thing they have. Usually some old rice that they don't really want for their family. And they consider that they have done such a good deed. So he had this little cloth bag. It was old, tattered, as his clothes was. And he would collect from 10 different houses, minimum every day, some old, broken up, raw rice. And everyone in the town who knew him, they just thought he was a beggar. They didn't even bother to ask his name. He's just a beggar. But he was a Paramahamsa. He was the wealthiest man in creation in the sense that he loved Krishna. He would be chanting Krishna's name just quietly as he was begging. He would bring whatever little broken rice he received in the day. He'd bring it back to his little hut in the Ganges, near the Ganges, and he'd cook it, and he'd be singing Krishna's names and singing Krishna's glories and crying in happiness as he offered it to Krishna. So during this day in the kirtan, everyone was dancing. Lord Chaitanya was sitting and revealing himself. And there was Suklambar, dancing happily. He was so blissful. It was a contagious blissfulness, just singing Krishna's names among wonderful devotees. And his little cloth bag that he would be hanging from his shoulder was swaying to and fro as he was dancing with his arms raised. Lord Chaitanya saw how happy he was singing, how much devotion he had. Lord Chaitanya said, Suklambar, please come here. And Suklambar came close. Lord Chaitanya plunged his hand into that old tattered bag and pulled out this raw, unwashed, broken pieces of rice and ate a full handful. Then he stuck his hand in again and then another handful and another handful. And Suklambar was crying and Lord Chaitanya was crying, but for different reasons. Lord Chaitanya was crying because he was tasting such sweet love. Suklambar was crying because, I didn't even wash this rice and I didn't even cook the rice and it's the lowest grade rice in the world and Lord Chaitanya is eating this. This is terrible. And Lord Chaitanya said, and he said it so everyone could hear, that I have never tasted such sweetness. Nothing can compare to the flavor of this rice. Interesting. Suklambar didn't even offer it. Usually when you offer, there's mantras and there's tantras and there's yantras and there's mudras and there's pujas. That's the proper way to offer things. But in this particular place, it is explained in the scripture that the essence of all the rules, all the regulations, all the processes of all the scriptures, of all the yogas, is love and devotion. The very basis of all the rules and regulations, all the different ceremonies, all the different philosophical principles, is to awaken that love and devotion. Because Suklambar had that love and devotion, Lord Chaitanya couldn't even wait for him to make the offering. He stole it from him. The Lord is Hari. A name of God is Hari, one who steals. He steals our hearts. When we simply value the importance of the real goal and real purpose of our life, to love. When we chant the names of God with this intent, with this spirit, this love awakens within our heart. I'm sorry, I forgot it was a festival. We're supposed to have a festival. So this festival, the meaning, it's a meditation. This morning and throughout the day, people were plucking flowers. Please raise your hand if you plucked flowers today. It's something very special, because when I was observing, I was seeing multimillionaires and simple farmers sitting around the same basket plucking flowers. I was seeing PhDs in engineering and science, in business management, with people who really have no education at all, just plucking flowers. I saw people from different nationalities and different races and different countries and coming from different religious backgrounds. He's plucking flowers. I saw sadhus, monks, brahmacharis who have vowed for renunciation their whole life. And I saw mothers and fathers with their children plucking flowers. And everyone was making an offering. Because you see, Krishna doesn't see any of your material qualifications or disqualifications. It's just the love of the flower, the affection in which we're offering these flowers to Krishna. And beautiful thing is there's so many flowers. Today we had 1,000 kilograms of flowers, which in pounds, it's over 1 ton. 14 varieties of flowers, all organic and natural, with no pesticides or any of that. Maharaj, I didn't see you. You emerged like this. Rising sun. Let us welcome His Holiness Indrajumna Swami Maharaj. Incredible. Thank you for being here. And all of the sincerity of our intent is all together. Within minutes, we will be showering Sri Radha Gopinath with the flowers that we all collectively collected. And nobody's going to think that I plucked that petal. Because you can't tell. There's 14 varieties, but there's tens and thousands of petals for each variety. So it's not about I and mine. It's about we. This is a shower of our flower. I just made that up. Shower of our flower. And that is what Sankirtan is. Krishna is most pleased when together we chant the holy names, not considering who's fit. The combined devotion of all of our hearts as we sing the holy names is the most pleasing offering to Krishna. And it's the most purifying experience for the whole world. So as we watch the flowers being showered on Krishna, it's our offering. It's intimately our offering. And each and every one of us individually can be so proud of what we have done. because of this mood, it's very beautiful. It's very sweet. So it is a meditation. It's a meditation on love being offered. And at a certain time, it all becomes Mahaprasad. And Krishna will offer it all back to us. And that is the great festival that we are celebrating today. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Please, if everyone can stay seated as the Pushyabhishek begins, and if you can make way for His Holiness Indradumna Swami to come to the microphone to lead kirtan. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, everybody can be seated.
Hare Hare.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simarte Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Purvani Pajarini Nivisesa Sunyavati Astata Desatarini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Purvani Pachayini Nirvishesa Shunyavadi Sveta Kesita. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Siva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta.